Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok here for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars. That's pretty much what the title would suggest. I am here with Joseph Scrimshaw. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Joseph, we are in our Clone Wars prep time period.
That's right.
Clone Wars excitement gearing up for season 7, showing up on Disney Plus right quick. So we've been diving into, on our new show, Clone Wars Report, Ahsoka Tano, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we're going to make it a Star Wars ranked Clone Wars edition this week with our favorite Clone Wars characters.
Wow, and another hard one. This is very difficult.
Very hard. And to make it easier on ourselves, you had submitted your list and you were like, hey, are we all on the wavelength about this? Yes. Anakin, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, Padme, and if I'm double checking, I do believe Palpatine.
Yeah.
Off the board.
Yeah.
Inducted in the Hall of Fame. They are clearly the main characters, the main focus of the Clone Wars, and we could easily just do them on a list. That's why we're doing them kind of individually and getting ready for the show and the Clone Wars Report. So that's why those characters are not going to be on the list.
Yeah.
So we're going to get right to it here. We do this ranking up 5 up to 1, and we begin, Joseph, with your number 5.
My number 5 is not a surprise, I think, for anybody who has been listening to Force Center for a while. It is the Jedi known as Terra Sanube.
Take a drink.
For
Center drinking game.
Every time I say Terrace Anube, and then you can take your follow-up drink when I say, he's got a lightsaber king. Because that's... I'll admit, that was...
He's great.
That was one of the first attractions. But if you're not familiar with Terrace Anube, you know what I love about him is the Clone Wars allowed us to spend a lot of time with different Jedi. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily dive all the way in, but we get these little hints of life as a Jedi. And Terrace Anube is a very old Jedi because he's this great reminder of, hey, you join the Jedi, you rise to the ranks, become a Padawan, and then a Jedi Knight. And then sometimes you just serve your whole life and you pass away, not violently, just because you're getting older. And Terrace Anube is an older Jedi, kind of stooped, very slow. And it's an after school special of an episode of Ahsoka Tano learning the value of patience. And then at the end, you learn it's not just about being slow and patient. It's about knowing when to strike, because the lightsaber king comes out and zoom, zoom, zoom. Some cool lightsaber stuff happens. And I'm always taken not only with grizzled weirdos, but with positive presentations of elderly people.
Yeah.
Even if they're space aliens.
Yeah.
That they have wisdom to impart, but they're also not. Alien. They're not, I mean, he's literally alien. You know, it's easy to just go, old people, they're born that way, right? You just, they're born with hard candies in their pockets and purses, right? That's just,
that's
the way they've never liked music, right? They were born old. They're different than us. We can do that sometimes. So I think storytelling where you feature somebody who has lived a life and has earned their wisdom and is different than what you expect them to be. It's such a respect for grandpa episode, and Terrace Anube represents that. So that's why he's my number five.
It has to be on your list. And I think you're exactly right in terms of just presenting a different kind of Jedi, which helps expand what the Jedi Order was in all the times. High Republic, Low Republic, whatever Republic era we're going to get. I really
Saucy Republic.
Saucy Republic. Yeah. And it's really one of the more memorable episodes. And it should be on your list.
Yeah,
That should just be your list.
Lightsaber lost. Terrace Anube five times. There we go. What is that's my number five. So yours, right?
My number five is Mina Bonteri.
Ooh.
And so here, when I put together this list, her name just kept popping up because her name pops up a lot in my mind of just what I love about the Clone Wars. And so I was like, all right, yeah, let's put her on the list. I'll put her at number five because she's mentioned a lot, and she's now, you know, appears in some books, I believe. Her son, Lux, factors into the story. But really, she's in one episode, really. And then she's killed off screen by mention. Right. You know, is in terms of just where I'm at watching season three. But the episode she's featured prominently in is Heroes on Both Sides,
right,
which is pulling out of the Revenge of the Sith crawl. And you could very, very easily misinterpret that. And,
I've seen people do it recently on social media.
Yeah. And it could have different meanings, but it's not necessarily. This doesn't mean Palpatine had good ideas. You know, it's not that type of thing.
Yeah, that's not what it's being said.
And so for the Clone Wars to go into it and we make fun of the prequels for, you know, for the Simpsons, I actually do enjoy the Simpsons joke of their prequel joke, and they got the AT-AT Walker coming in and reading a newspaper in a Senate hearing or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, I get the humor behind it. But this episode's about deregulation of banks, funding for the war, lobbyists. It's about all these kind of things, and it all goes into Padme, and Mina Bonteri is her mentor from a time when there wasn't two sides. And there's a lot of those little lessons of, well, I thought separatists were this. Well, we think you're this. And to cross, not necessarily cross the lines, well, it is across the lines literally in the episode, but just kind of to have a more realistic view of what was going on in the Star Wars story, to have Padme learn from it. An example of Padme as a leader, as a politician, what she views, her desires for peace. And to see that come from Mina Bonteri and to see it represented in that and what Padme could have grown into if she had survived and as a leader would have been a damn fine chancellor of the Republic. And to see that and then the legacy of Mina Bonteri as a mentor and how it affected things and how her son goes on to be involved in other stories, Lux. And also, this episode is—it's not about the episode, but this episode is just a really great moment where he's great. He's checking out Ahsoka, and Ahsoka's just like, you boys are all the same. It's
yeah, there's some stuff going on there with Lux and Ahsoka.
Yeah, yeah, there's some things. But to have him factor back into the Battlefront 2 novel and Iden Versio and everything, a lot of that, there's kind of this tree that the vines and roots that go back to Mina Bonteri. So I just love what she represents, that part of the Clone Wars of George going, oh, you didn't like the politics? Let me dive into that.
Yeah.
And I just love her legacy.
I think that's so great. I think Mina Bonteri is putting a face to a lot of things. That idea that the story of the Clone Wars and the reason that it's in the crawl, the heroes on both sides, is some of the separatists have legitimate critiques of the Republic, and they are being manipulated by a charismatic leader, Dooku, who is lying to them.
Yeah.
And to sort of put a public face on, this is one of the people who has legitimate concerns and thinks that from their perspective that they've been pushed to war the same way people in the Republic think they have been pushed to no choice. But war is just so great. And to see Lucas, through characters like Mina Bonteri, dive into like, you think that storytelling of how the government falls from inside is simple? All
right. Right.
Let's get into the banks, MFers.
Yeah, a lot of banks.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how... Yeah. Yes, there are different institutions, the different pillars that keep society moving, and who controls them matters to you.
Yeah. Quickly to wrap that up about her, but just like, if Palpatine or Dooku revealed their true intentions, someone like Mina Bonteri would be like, oh, yeah, no, that's not what we're here for.
I'm not here for dark side cultist BS, right? Yeah.
So that's my number five, which means we're up to your number four.
My number four is Duchess Satine. Mm-hmm. Speaking of heroes on both sides, on all sides, Duchess Satine is not... We talk about her a lot as this person who helps us open up on our understanding of Obi-Wan Kenobi. We talked about it on our Clone Wars report this week. And yes, it is fascinating to see Obi-Wan Kenobi have a potential love interest. But even setting that aside, the story of Duchess Satine has such great rhythms and echoes of Leia and Padme. Here is a woman who is a ruler of a planet. That's interesting. But to me, the amazing thing about Duchess Satine is going, hey, Mandalore has been a place that has prided itself on war. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be the definition of strength.
Yeah.
In fact, having a peaceful society, having a society that puts weapons aside, is even more difficult, and it shows even more strength to put those weapons aside. So I'm going to really push for a peaceful society. Still a strong society, still an independent society that's trying not to take sides in your dumb war, which we think is bad. So the strength of that character, just the way she's represented, like her elegance, but also like her down to earthness and how incisive she is and being able to see situations, see Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm. So many cool things about her. And just this idea that, again, Lucas and Filoni are really know the themes that they're talking about, because what she represents echoes what the Jedi purport to be.
Yeah.
Of violence is the absolute last choice. And she keeps a hidden blaster on her, and she uses it when she has to.
Yeah.
As an absolute last choice. And that idea that, the Mandalorians and the Jedi, maybe they're wrestling with some similar things of violence has been a part of our legacy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to define us. And it should be an absolute last resort, you know. And she's a fascinating, charming package to deliver some of those ideas.
I think you hit the nail on the head several times there. She's such a memorable character on her own. Then you intertwine it with the story with Obi-Wan. It even makes it even more appealing from Star Wars fans. But I think you could have just forms of media, stories, books, comics, just on Duchess Satine because of what she does on Mandalore. It's so brave. You mentioned Padme. She is a young ruler when that happens too. Not afraid to fight. I love when she just straight up kind of calls out the Jedi to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like in his face about it. And I think those are some of the better moments in the Clone Wars, and a memorable character for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. So that is my number four, the amazing Duchess Satine. I'm hoping for that novel soon.
I want it. Well, my number four is kind of on the other side of that. It's her sister, Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan cries. I always say cries. I used to say Kriz, but now I say cries.
Kriz?
Kriz is an angle. But Bo-Katan is what we'll take as well.
Bo-Katan cries sounds like a great 50s bebop song.
It's hard for me not to choose Bo-Katan. There's just so much to this character because it is the other side. Because it's Duchess Satine's sister who walks away from her, who fights her, tries to take her down, leads directly to her death. And there's just some things going on there, this Shakespearean family tragedy playing out.
Yeah.
That I love. And it is just on that surface Star Wars level of, you like Mandalorians, right? Well, cool. You're going to get this cool character, this female Mandalore who is doing some great things, doing some cool things. And she's going to be played by Katie Sackhoff, voiced by her, who was amazing as Starbuck. And so it's just this like behind the scenes kind of melds into this great character where you're like, oh, this is exactly one. That's why I think this character has a definite cult following. And I'll say this, I still believe a future in Star Wars going forward.
I agree.
And other storytelling. And we know going into season 7, we're going to get her too.
Yeah.
But the keeper of the Darksaber, at least at one point, Moff Gideon, all those kind of things, all these characters going on in Mandalorian, more there. So anyways, I just like this character a lot on the surface, but I also like where she comes to be as a ruler, where she comes to make realize her mistakes. And I think that's important too, because there's going to be a lot of people who would oppose Satine just out of habit, out of who they are, out of their what's ingrained into them. And for her own sister to do it, but to come around on it in tragic fashion, a little bit of the death of her sister, of course. I just like Bo-Katan.
Yeah, Bo-Katan is amazing. You illustrated it all really well, and she's yet another character who you can get to know her in the Clone Wars, and then her journey tracks through Rebels, and maybe there's some real implications that she's got some story left to tell based on, whispers from the Mandalorian television show. So get to know your Bo-Katan, I think.
Get to know her! That's my number 4, which means we're going to your number 3.
My number 3, I had to cheat. I had to do a split.
Love two
characters that are tied together, and that is Asajj Ventress and Mother Talzin. I couldn't relegate either of them to my runner-up list. Look, Asajj Ventress, as I was going through this whole thing, so many characters I came up with are like, they are a character that allows us a different perspective on this known group faction perspective. Asajj Ventress, We get to see what it is kind of like to be a Sith in training, right? Because we get that a little bit in the movies, but not really. So Asajj Ventress kind of has the title of Sith dangled from her because she's Count Dooku's assassin who happens to use the Force, but you got to think he's got in the back of his mind, like, yeah, she'll be my apprentice. And when I get around to taking out Sidious after the war, she'll help me with
that.
But of course, just gets treated terribly. So she's got this great arc where you get to see her question the path that she's on. It's a great juicy perspective into the training to be a dark side, what it feels like to be betrayed on an emotional level. She's so hurt that she was betrayed by Dooku.
Yeah.
Then just the design. So cool. This just sort of elegant, on purpose, sexy, deadly lady of darkness is like an awesome character. The voice acting, Nika Futterman, right? Is amazing. That just great, deep voice. Mm. So she's a fascinating character to watch. And then tied to that, she is our entry into the Night Sisters.
Right.
And Mother Talzin, we've talked about before, when some mothers in Star Wars get short shrift and gotta die right away.
Right.
Not that Mother Talzin doesn't. Have some problems, but talk about yet another cool, amazing design in the whole world of the Night Sisters. This idea that there are, it's dark side, but in a way it's almost kind of a dark side that's just, it's on Dathomir minding its own business, not going out into the world and lashing out in hate, Asajj gets manipulated by the Sith and gets pulled into that world, but they're connected to their planet, to their roots, to their way of life. And Talzin represents all that in that fascinating way. And also just Mother Talzin just looking like, hey, would you like to dress up as someone from Star Wars for Halloween? Here you go. She looks like almost classic Universal, like scary monster lady, and getting into those genres, that genre of horror of like, I'm gonna. This is a force magic stew. What do you? Of course.
Of course.
Look, I got some, you know, some force powers and some, you know, some spices, and we'll give you some power. Like, there's just so much that's cool about the character, and really positions the Sith as the ultimate bad guys in the way that Mother Talzin and Asajj Ventress are manipulated by them and have to fight against them and against their attempt to control and dominate even the Night Sisters.
Such a great choice. And yeah, a great pairing. They both probably deserve their own slot, but you know, we only get so many choices on the show. We set up for ourselves. Love Asajj Ventress, someone that I grew to love and respect even more as the series went on. A lot of that is Katie Lucas's writing and Katie Lucas kind of identifying with the character and finding herself in that. And you know what? Jennifer Landa covers that so well on an episode of Happy Beeps. You should check that out, folks, if you haven't heard it. It is at least about a year ago or so, I think. But you just search on our page for it. That explains a lot of why I love Asajj Ventress, which initially in the original, the Tartakovsky series, I was like, okay, cool. I get it. I'm on board. But it just turned into something more because of Katie Lucas really kind of connecting with that character. And yeah, Mother Talzin, the same thing. I was like, I don't want a witch in Star Wars. And now it's just some of my favorite stuff. And it's that her Asajj going home is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. And really representative of a mother in Star Wars, literally.
Yeah. Literally. Mother Talzin.
So that is your number three. We're going to my number three, Captain Rex. I got to tell you, I love Captain Rex more now than I did watching the series. Doesn't mean I didn't love him. But seeing it where he gets to in Rebels.
Yeah.
And seeing what they did with the character. And then going back and realizing at the start of the Clone Wars cartoon, the clone troopers were to me what they were to the galaxy. Interchangeable action figures to be dumped out on the floor, played with as you will, and tossed away. And you needed to tell the story of clones, and you're still telling going into season seven. There's some great Rex lines already in the trailers. I think that all comes through Rex, and there's other clones along the way, obviously, but there's a reason Captain Rex is the focal point. The reason, you know, you cheer when he shows up in Rebels again with that big bushy beard. I just think for Filoni and his team and George to be like, cool. What does it mean to be a clone, knowing you're a living, breathing flesh human thing being sent out to war, and these Jedi are generals with you, but they're good, right? But what's our relation to all of this? And to have it kind of come down to Rex, his understanding of the war, but also our love for a specific clone.
Yeah.
Is what the big thing is to
me. Yeah. And we get introduced to the idea of Cody in Revenge of the Sith. But Rex is this new character because they're all different, right?
Yeah.
And I think some of the power of Rex is we see him kind of form this bond with Anakin and Ahsoka, and even Obi-Wan up to a point, but mostly Anakin and Ahsoka, and be inspired by their inventiveness and by that's what's different about clones than droids. You can throw thousands more droids at us, but we're not just mindless automatons bred for war. We grow and we change. And boy, if we want to learn to be inventive and think outside the lines, what great Jedi to be paired with?
Yeah,
Anakin and Ahsoka, and they start to form this kind of triumvirate of creativity in battle.
Creativity in battle, indeed. And we got more of Rex coming in season seven. Which means now we're up to number two.
We're going to go to the wide world of bounty hunters. This is one of my favorite bounty hunters ever. It's Embo.
Yeah.
Embo. So if you're not familiar, Embo is a Kyozo. That is the same species as Constable Zuvio.
That's the best.
Not seen in Force Awakens, but seen in memes and action figures. Constable Zuvio, he has a pet Anuba named Marok, and his ship is called the Guillotine. But here's the deal. He's just an awesome bounty hunter. So he's got a cool alien design. He's got this big hat disc that he can use as a shield. He can throw it at people and hit them. He can jump on it and slide down it as he does in an episode.
He's Captain America. He's Legolas. He's all of
them. He is. Yeah. And he's got a bowcaster and he's got a cool, weird, deep voice done by Filoni himself. I think the thing is that Embo even gets, you know, he's in the Windegg novels, the Aftermath novels. So you get a little bit of character there. In Clone Wars, he's a bounty hunter doing his bounty hunter job. And he's just a fulfillment of seeing those bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back. And like, they're cool. What if they did things? And we do get to see some of them actually do things in Clone Wars, Bossk in particular. But Embo is just that, hey, this is the fun of bounty hunters. They look cool. They all have different exotic weapons and styles and looks, and they look cool and they kick ass.
Yeah.
And Embo is just, to me, the perfect bounty hunter. There's a lot in Clone Wars, and some of them are like, cool design, whatever.
Yeah.
But Embo's the entire package. He looks cool. He sounds cool. Every fight scene with him is cool. That hat is cool. The fact that he's related to Constable Zuvio is cool.
Yeah.
I am all about Embo.
All about Embo. That's a great choice. I know he's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, we're going to go to my number two because we got a bit of a case of dueling bounty hunters. My number two is Cad Bane. Now, here's the thing.
Who would like that song, I think.
Yeah, he would. I thought to myself, I am not putting Cad Bane on this list because everyone loves Cad Bane.
Yeah.
Embo's a great choice. I think Embo versus Cad Bane is a X versus Sever movie I want to see. But I can't lie. When he first showed up on screen, season one, he's the end of season one, and this is like the release order, you know. I remember thinking, what the hell? Actually, it was more like, what the beep am I watching?
Yeah.
It's a Duros, great. Bounty hunter, he's got a cowboy hat on, he's a trench coat, he talks like he's a Western villain. I don't know about this. Get out of here with this. They did such a good job of just making him so intimidating, so just dark and callous and cold. And he goes in and he like shoots a senator and there's a hostage thing. And I'm like,
just doesn't give a damn. Cad Bane doesn't give a damn.
Cad Bane don't give no dams. And this is a, you know, I'll say kids show because at the time you're like, what, you know, Star Wars had gone, the Rebels and Resistance, all these things are years away.
No.
We're thinking droids. We're thinking Ewoks on Saturday morning.
Nope.
And now I'm like, you know, because what pulled me in initially I talked about was like, oh, I got some cool space fighting. Definitely got the Star Wars I love. Now I'm looking at this going, whoa, we got something different. We got something, not just Sithy evil. You got something very real in terms of evil in the galaxy. And he's highly capable. And at the end of the day, that cowboy hat and trench coat ended up working really well.
It is. Yeah. I rambled about Embo being the perfectly cool bounty hunter. Cad Bane is in that same camp, but with even more lines in basic that we can understand.
Yeah.
He looks cool. He sounds cool. He's the perfect callous bounty hunter.
We love Cad Bane. So we're just some quick honorable mentions here in this episode today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'll just run through my list, Joseph. I had Asajj Ventures on my list, but you did a great job explaining to her. Saw and Steela Guerrera.
Oh, yeah.
Love them. Love the use of Saw in Rogue One, but love that it pointed back to those great series of episodes. Steel as well. Plo Koon. I talked about how initially season one, I was like, oh, cool, that guy's in it. I like that guy. And then you start to learn more about him. I just like him there. I'll say this. Yoda.
Yoda
is a character.
That first actual episode ambush where he connects with the clones. Real good.
Real good stuff to see that the puppet come to life, so to speak. And especially, we definitely got a lot of Yoda in the prequels. But to see him on a more roundabout, fully functional way, I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Amazing stuff there. Anybody else on your runner-up
list?
That's
my list, yeah.
My runner-up, I'm going to throw out Wolfie Lauren.
I love Wolf.
Yeah, great to see somebody who serves the Republic and doesn't question the transition to the Empire and just keeps serving. And they play with that with every once in a while. He's annoyed by the Jedi.
Yes.
So you can get him going like,
the best.
Oh, they died. Fine. Quinlan Vos, it's amazing to see him live and giving so much flavor to the Jedi. Pong Krell, the Jedi who loses his way. Mm-hmm. And then my last one for Clone Troopers, Fives is great. That you get to follow and some come so close to making such a big difference to the galaxy. Good old Fives. So those are my runner-ups.
There's a lot of choices in the Clone Wars. We had to go through it there. Meeber Gascon just almost made the list for me. We're going to go with my number one to wrap up. Joseph can close the show. My number one is Exquisite Pajamas himself, Count Dooku. I just love Christopher Lee in Star Wars. I think we got some great stuff in Attack of the Clones. Gone too soon in Revenge of the Sith, but serves the purpose well. So we got to spend time with him here. And Christopher Lee did voice him in the movie. Corey Burton comes in and does it in the show. And it's definitely a little bit of a different vibe, but it's kind of like Yoda. You get to see Dooku functioning as Tyrannus and Dooku. We always joke, sometimes you could almost consider him the father of the rebellion, not true, but just had some legit problems with Jedi and the Republic. We got some great supplemental material now in the last couple of years, Jedi Lost and everything, but I just love seeing him. He is kind of the main villain, because he's got to be. He's the face of it, because Palpatine's not revealed yet.
Yeah.
Can't reveal, so he's got to go out and be the face of evil in the galaxy, and he does it really well.
And in his own castle,
and in those pajamas. But yeah, I really do love what they did with Dooku in the show.
Dooku functions so well, yes, as the main public antagonist, right? We get to see lots of Sidious and Palpatine pulling strings in the background, but Dooku showing up again and again and being this imposing, unstoppable, cruel figure is great. And they get lots of different shades out of him. The episode where, you know, Dooku and the Jedi get captured together and kind of have to work together.
Just watching that one today.
Right. Yeah, it's so great. And yeah, and get to see him in his castle with his exquisite pajamas and realize part of this is not a facade. He is a rich man who likes fine things.
His comforts.
Yeah, you can't even begin to imagine his thread count, right?
Well, it just makes me imagine, like, what's Palpatine like at night? I need a glass of water before bed. Like, it's
yeah, I think he has silly. To kill seven insects before insects before he dies, just to do something cruel before he goes to sleep.
So that is my number one, Count Dooku. What is your number one, sir?
We have been well matched on the category. My number one treads dangerously close to main character, but so does Count Dooku. So my number one is Maul.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as we talked about favorite characters in Clone Wars Ranked, I said, you know, I think one of my favorites is the one who got to have a character because of Clone Wars. Maul is amazing in Phantom Menace. He looks cool. He is cool. To this day, I remember getting excited for, you know, at last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we'll have our revenge. You're like, ooh, why does he want revenge? Yeah. Oh, nothing in the movie. Okay. No need to relitigate that. Because that initial idea of, like, he survived after Lucas cut him in half to be clear to the audience that he doesn't survive. He survived. He's got spider legs. It was hate that made him live. Okay, but this is all just incredibly cool.
Yeah.
And this character emerges that is driven by hate because he has nothing else. And as I've said before, this character who was raised to be the Sith apprentice and then gets thrown away.
Yeah.
And then is just wants power and dominion and control because he doesn't know how to want anything else, which is not to apologize for him, but to see him from the outside as this tragic character and to see that, yes, he's savage and angry, but that silky voice and that bubbling anger underneath and gives him this like he's just going a little mad all the time. Like he's just on the edge of losing his sanity, because who wouldn't be when you've just been trained since birth to be a weapon, and now you're a weapon that no one will tell where to point. And you're just going, kill Kenobi, what else is on my to-do? Get power. Prophet? Is that three? Who am I? What do I want? And just that palpable sense of rage and confusion is just such a beautiful... He's a fun character watching. He's a beautiful picture of the pointlessness of the dark side. Because what do you get? What do you have when it's all over?
What do you get? And it leads to the great moment of Rebels. We don't have that without this. And whenever I hear a story, or wherever I go to a movie, a Star Wars movie, and I think, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. I don't know if I like so-and-so just popping back up. I don't like this. I don't like that decision. I go to Maul and I think, there's no way Spider Legs Maul should have worked.
And
it stands the test of time. It's one of the best things in Star Wars.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I can't wait to see more of him in season 7 being kind of, being very evil and boiling, but also just kind of a dick. He's good at just kind of poking people and being an ass like he is in that trailer. So I can't wait to see the evil ass that is Maul.
And that is why he is number one on your list. Great list. Thanks for bringing it. Joseph, if you've got a name that we missed, and we definitely did miss some, you can go to follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Rank. Like our Facebook page. You can follow Joseph at Joseph Scrimshaw. Me at Catnapsack. Hey, don't forget, if you want to try an audiobook out on us, like, say, Dark Disciple by Christy Golden, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter to get a free audiobook on us. That is it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.